Any update on Dmytro Kulikov today?
As for yeah, I don't have him in the game tomorrow as of right now. So Moore will come back in.
Just day-to-day then at this point?
At this point, yeah.
Easier to slide and Joe in?
Yeah, hasn't been out that long. And he's played well, so that'll be clean.
Speaking of playing well, I know he's on a five-game point-scoring streak at one end of the ice, but what's caught your eye with Ben Sherratt in the last... Geez, 6-7 weeks here from what he's been able to do.
Started with a real physicality to his game. I think defensemen cross a threshold at some point in their career where they truly believe they belong. It's not just I can play a little bit here, or I'm trying to find their game. They find their game, and they know what they're trying to bring every night. That physicality gets them to the right energy level, the right pace. And then he's up the ice a little bit more. You know, his feet are moving a little bit quicker. The timing of the rest of the game falls in place for him. But it started with a real strong, heavy game that he brought after coming out. And he's been a real good defenseman for us, not a guy that would be easy to take out of the lineup.
Given the situation he's found himself in, Paul, how does a player get to the situation, to the point where you're not looking over your shoulder constantly, wondering when you might be coming out of the lineup?
I think you deal with it. I don't think you stop looking over your shoulder. You just accept the fact that that's part of your life. There are guys in our lineup that never have to really worry. Even if they have two or three bad games, they're not coming out of the lineup, right? They've got a body of work that leaves them in. For players, and this is all players in that fourth line, 5-6 role, they're always being looked at. Either for an upgrade, you're trying to find somebody better for that hole, or... Or sometimes it's a young kid coming up that needs the development time. So that you just accept that you've got to grind it every day, that your practices are important. You don't get days off. And you're held to a little tighter standard based probably on the minutes that you're playing. And once you kind of get comfortable being uncomfortable, I think the best comes out.
Josh Morrissey took that big hit last night, and you said after the game that the hope was that he was going to be just fine. Nothing changed today?
Nothing's changed today. No, so we expect him in the lineup tomorrow.
Mark Scheifele won't play tomorrow?
Will not play tomorrow. Making improvement. Be real, real careful with this one. We just don't want anything to linger on this where he's in and out of lineup for a week or two. We'll wait until he's right.
The position that you guys are right now... 8 up on Minnie, 6 back in Nashville. Does that buy you maybe a little more time? Not that there is an urgency to the games, but...
Right, so there's some truth to that. Like, I'm not cutting guys minutes back, not running the bench any different. We're focused. We've just way too much hockey left to presume that you're going to be where you are now in 4 weeks. But you do have the luxury. So... There's two pieces to this, though. The reason that you have the luxury is that you've got some pretty good depth. So when you've had guys out of the lineup, you could put other pieces in and have success. And then that depth is what you're relying on. So it's good to get those guys to play and to play better minutes. So there isn't the urgency to get him back. If we don't have Marker in the lineup, we can't win. So we'll be patient with him.
Well, you guys had more than 4 natural centers before the trade. Chevy goes against Paul Stastny. As a coach, can you ever have too many centers?
No.
And I guess, what is the benefit of having extra centers, not only for faceoffs, but for defensive zone coverage and depth?
All of those reasons. The big one is any kind of long-term injury to a centerman. So you've got guys, like Matty Perreault is an example who started as a centerman, but he wants to play the wing now. He doesn't want to be in the middle. But he doesn't have to be the first guy in. So with everybody healthy, you know, Blake Wheeler's probably our first guy into the middle, and then we've got lots of other options. There's a real quick adjustment to going from center to the wing. Figure out how to work the walls and find your point man. But the adjustment from wing to center for somebody that's not natural, when you get a guy, that's why we all marveled so much at the work Blake did, who hadn't played a lot of center at the time. That's a very difficult change. It's a completely different view of the game, and the set of responsibilities you have is completely different. So it's hard to put a guy in the middle that's not have his experience there. But face-offs alone with the standard of the face-off, the number of players that are getting kicked out of face-offs, having 2 on a line, and we have a bunch of guys like that, lines like that now, it makes a big difference.
Go ahead. Adam Lowry looked like he was moving around really well out there today. Another step in the program?
Yeah, so what we do is we've added small steps of physical confrontation. Right now he's in control of it, so he's the one leaning on guys. The next stage will be for them to lean on him a little bit, but he's still wearing the gold, so he doesn't he's not considered. Truba's out of the gold now, and we're pushing him as hard as we can. I don't have him on this road trip, but if he continues to go the way he is, as soon as we get back, he may be a player for us.
We've talked a lot about Patrick Laine, but just in general terms, when you see a goal scorer that is approaching one of those milestones, you know, like 50 is now a possibility for him, do they change their mentality at all? Or have you ever noticed anything like
I don't know. Big picture? Any of the change would come from the number that you have today. They're feeling confident. So if you're getting close to 50, you're feeling pretty good about your game. And anybody is, any of these guys, confidence is a critical piece. I mean, that puck is off Patty's stick where he wants it right now every time. And so he's feeling it. He's feeling good. I still go back to, you know, the start of this. So you watched him skate today. It's a different guy skating on the ice. I mean, he's moving in somewhat of an optional day. He's pushing, so he's figured it out that the legs are driving a lot of what he's doing. Playing a little faster, it sets his timing up because his timing's bang on.
You're used to life in the Western Conference now, but, boy, the travel you've had here over the last week, how different is that for you with being able to work with your club?
It's completely different. I started in the East and had no appreciation for the challenges of being in the West with that travel, but we're going to play 6 road games, and I mean, it's we're in Philadelphia quicker than we get to the airport in Colorado, so the rest part of it, you can jam a lot of games in on the road in a situation that we're in and stay fairly rested.
Tell us your starting goalie tomorrow.
Hellebuck's going tomorrow. We're
going to
split the back-to-back.
Okay.
Just haven't decided which way we're going with it yet. That'll we're working really closely with Connor now, finding the right balance between rest and rhythm. I think the number that's in your head is somewhere between 60 and 65. We'll be close to the 65. That's kind of where we resigned. And we've done a schedule kind of for the rest of the year, but it's not set in stone. Rhythm. As long as he's feeling good, feeling rested. Back to your question, you know, that helps us in the goaltending. That when you're not going to bed at 2 or 3 in the morning off a flight, you get a whole different feeling. Connor also likes afternoon games, and he likes going on without morning skates. If he had his preference, he wouldn't take the morning skate. So we factor all those things in now.
And just to piggyback off that, Paul, but any update on the significance of Steve Mason's injury? Are you looking days or longer?
I don't have an update for you yet. We don't think it's significant right now. It doesn't feel right to him, so we're going to get as many tests as we need to get it cleared up. So my information now is this isn't overly significant. It's a few days.
Is it just something that happened on a movement that he was doing?
In the game, and he finished the game midway through. Started to feel just a little off. And it's not a concussion. It's lower body.
I'm sorry. Some younger goalies, Andre Vasilevsky, Braden Holtby, who are like not used to maybe the workload as much, have said the rest component or the fatigue component gets to them. How conscious are you of Connor and making sure he's not fatigued late in the season going into the playoffs?
Well, we're aware of it. We've had an unusual schedule. We spent the entire month of February at home. So, again, a different rest. You're not getting off airplanes in the middle of the night. But there's a fatigue component that a number one goaltender also has to embrace. So you're not keeping a guy like that who's going to play 65 games fresh every night. He has to learn how to play when he doesn't feel 100% right, because that's basically going to be his life. It's the mental part of the physical fatigue, right? When the pressure's still in those games and you're playing a lot, we'll watch for that. But we've been able to actually give him blocks of 2 and 3 days off where he hasn't skated backed up. We didn't skate the next day. So for him, those 3 days are like an all-star break, which he didn't get. But that kind of break is huge for him. So he comes back in and he feels great. And that's kind of where we're not going to cut this guy back and go back, flip-flop goalies in and out for the rest of the year, rotate him. We want him to stay in a rhythm that he's comfortable with what we are. Wade Flaherty spends quite a bit of time each day talking about where he feels his game's at.
Just a thought on the Flyers tomorrow, just team that's lost back to back, but still competing in the Metro.
There was a Tampa loss, Boston, and Pitt. Right, so those are all high end team losses, tight games. So we've looked at this road trip as one where the competition would get stronger as we went. And last night, you know, we got outshot and I think outchanced in that game. And we're going to see more of the same in terms of what they do off the rush with their speed and their zone time. Right, so they've got really high offensive zone time. And they did quite a bit of their damage in terms of chances for off the rush, which is what we've been seeing since it's more of an Eastern style of play. So handling that, we didn't handle it. There were a couple of places in our game weren't very good last night, and it caused us some problems. At the same time, we're a decent offensive team, so we've just got to make good on our chances and work real hard not to give a whole lot up.